Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is episode 147 of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. This is Ashland Dave, and it's the week of January 15th, 2012. I'd like to thank you for downloading the show. I appreciate you coming along. You can contact me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you want to comment on this show or in any of the other podcasts that you've listened to that I've put out. I'm always interested in hearing from listeners, and I usually try to reply to any emails that I get as soon as I can. Sometimes it takes a couple days, and I do my best to reply to all of them. Sometimes I prefer to reply to them in the show, so sometimes you'll see me do that. I've got a pretty decent show for you this week. The title of it is called the Regular Guy Award, and I'm giving that to Kevin Green of JustFinished.com. He did an outstanding interview on Ultra Runner Podcast, which you can find at ultrarunnerpodcast.com. He's one of 12 people who completed the Grand Slam of Ultra Running in 2011. And actually, another one was a guy named David Snipes, who actually lives not too far from where I do, but I don't really know him. I see him at some area races, but I've never met him. But anyway, Kevin Green gave an excellent interview, and he is just a regular dude. You definitely figure that out after listening to the interview. And I believe that he's friends with Dirt Dog from up in the Michigan area. And he started a website called JustFinished.com, which is a kind of a running community online, virtual community of runners. And it's a pretty cool site, and he encourages those to people to just finish. So I'm giving out my only time I've ever done this, giving out a regular guy award to Kevin Green. And the reason I wanted to bring that up, because I would like to encourage you to listen to his interview over at ultrarunnerpodcast.com. It's a pretty good interview, so definitely check that out. And well done, Kevin, on finishing the Grand Slam of Ultra Running, which is the Western States 100, the Vermont Trail 100, the Leadville 100, and Wasatch. So that's four, and I think it's 4 months. It's four consecutive months: June, July, August, and September. That's definitely something I would never be able to do. But anyway, Kevin Green did it, and I think he actually did it when he did his first 100. I think that was how he did it. I know Dirt Dog went out in crude form at Western States. I think is what happened there. So anyway, well done, Kevin, and make sure you go over to JustFinished.com and check out his website. He's got a lot of cool stuff on there. I also wanted to just comment briefly on the movie Unbreakable, which was a documentary of the Western States 2010 Western States race. Just an outstanding movie about running, ultra running. And I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not going to give it away. But it's truly, I definitely highly recommend it. Definitely highly recommend it. It's a true example of perseverance and never giving up. And just remarkable resolve to finish a long distance event. And it follows four runners, one of which ends up being the winner of the race. And I guess it's about a 2-hour movie or so. Just really done well. The footage along the course itself was just outstanding by the director. And I just thought it was really cool how they kept up with these fast runners and got some real good video footage of the race and how the elites get through there. The last movie I'd seen about Western States was called Running Madness, and I think that was several years back. So anyway, it's a good. Definitely would recommend it, and maybe in a future show or so, I might comment on who ended up winning the race, but I don't want to spoil that for anybody. So that's called Unbreakable, and if you have any interest at all in trail ultra running, this is definitely a movie to check out. If you've heard about what Western States is and just want to learn more about it, it's a good movie. I really did like it, and it's the strength of the human spirit is a good example of someone's resolve and just persevering, and those kinds of lessons are analogous, and it can be applied to different parts of our life. A couple other things I'm going to hit on. Had a real big mileage week. Finally broke 50 miles in my training program, 51 to be exact, this past week. I did, I can't remember what it was during the week. I know I did a 10-miler and then 24 on Saturday, 5 on Sunday. And I can't remember what it was during the week. But the biggest obstacle that I had was I was out of town each day for a training class. I was up in the Fredericksburg area, which is about an hour north of Ashland. At least where I was is about an hour north. So I had an hour drive in the morning and an hour drive in the evening on top of, 8-hour day, or actually it was, I guess, a 9-hour day. So it turned out being an 11-hour day each day, and I would do my training after I got home. And I was getting home in the dark pretty much each night, and I had those, I can't remember what it was last week. I think it was a 10, 10 and a 7 and a... I can't remember I remember that it was dark each time, so I really got some use of my headlamps. And Christina, if you're listening to the show, I did use that blinky light that you sent me on one of my headlamps. That worked out really good. And matter of fact, I've actually had somebody that has made fun of me at work for having blinky lights on my headlamp, but I told him, hey, you can laugh all you want, but at least I'm not, hopefully I won't get run down from behind. But it was very difficult to get my run in after driving home an hour, and I definitely could not make that part of my lifestyle. I was telling my wife, if I ever got some crazy idea to go work up in Fredericksburg while living down here, make sure you tell me not to do that. I can't stand having a long commute. Right now, where I go to work in the morning, it's only about 8 to 10 minutes away, which I really like. There's just no way I could stand to commute that much, not to mention all the gas that you burn up. So anyway, I was able to get my all 51 miles in this week, and that felt really good, and I'm still in one piece. When I did my 24-miler on Saturday, I did that with run-walk intervals just to conserve energy, and because the whole point is to be able to go well beyond 24, And I ran overall, it was 4:26:24. I think my pace was a little bit over 11-minute mile average, but I did the 7 and 3 the whole way, and did pretty good. I wish I had fueled a little bit more. I didn't fuel as much as I had hoped. But it was a good confidence builder. And then we actually right after I ran that, my wife and I went down to Topsail Island, which is a beach community down in North Carolina. It's south of the Outer Banks, which if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you've heard me talk about that. So we went down there and actually used my good friend Tom's condo, which is right on the beach. He had offered that to us, so we kind of had a little getaway. And my wife and I got up Sunday morning and ran 5 down on the island. Now, Tom had already warned me that you have to check the tide charts if you want to run on the beach, because the tide comes up and there's not enough room, or you'll be running in the deep sand. We go out for our run, and we didn't check the tide charts. We go out to the beach hoping to run down 2.5 miles and then turn around and come back, and the water was too high. So we ended up having to run on the road, which was really fun, and we liked that anyway. But I wish I had heeded his warning and planned our run better. But while we went out for a run, we passed a establishment called the Trailer Bar, and it's literally a bar that's in a single-wide trailer, that's kind of... it's nice looking from the outside, but it literally is a single wide trailer. So we decided we would have to go back there later. We ended up going, we were going out to eat that night. We drove past there and we said, we got to stop in here and get a beer. And so took in a little bit of local culture. It was definitely a redneck bar. And it was funny because it literally was a single wide trailer that's a bar. But it was actually pretty cool. Everybody was very friendly, and we were invited up to the bar to sit down, and you know, it's almost like, you know, fresh meat, but it was pretty good. And so Tom, yeah, you'd have to, definitely check that out next time you're down there, just go in there and get a beer. The beers were only $2.50. So that's not too bad. Getting back to the 50 mile week, it was just a huge confidence builder to get in that 51 miles. Cause that's the high, I don't have to do that again. That's the highest mileage for my program. Of course, for the last 2.5 months, I've been running between 43 and 48 miles every week, and it is starting to wear on me. I'm definitely going to be looking forward to getting this event over with and taking a break from some of the high mileage training. But being able to get in all the miles of the program that I'm attempting to follow is just a very satisfying feeling, and it makes me feel like I've really got a good chance on getting to the starting line. I'm fully trained for the 100K, which is going to be on March 10th down in the Outer Banks, and I'll talk about that a little bit more at the end of the show. Another thing I want to mention, I actually got a couple things here. Oh, I also got a couple race reports I'm going to hit on during the email bag. I've got a race report from Tom and Dr. Smitty in reference to the Seashore Nature Trail 50K that they ran right before Christmas. So, but those are in the email bag, so I'll get to that here in a little bit. The Charlotte Ultra Run, which is a 50K that I'm running on February 4th, has made a change on their website, which has made me very happy. Originally, the race was billed as having a six-hour cutoff, and only results will only be kept for those. Or I guess you got to make the cutoff to get to be in the finishing results. Well, now the website has made that 8 hours, so I'll definitely be able to get in, and I don't know why it was changed. I'd have to email the race director and ask, but I mean, I'm not complaining, so I probably won't even bother. But I do I am very pleased that now, because I could not make 6 hours, because I've never run 50 kilometers under 6 hours. So my best being 6:26. Of course, you can't compare every 50K like you can kind of sometimes you can compare marathons, because ultras are all different. You can't really compare one to the next with each distance because they're such different beasts. But this one's going to be a flat course. So if there was going to be any time that I would be able to break 6 hours, this would be the one to try it on. But now that there's no rush to do that, I don't feel like I have to, I can kind of practice. What I'm going to really do is use that race to totally practice what I'm going to try to do on March 10th. And I might do a 5 and 5 for the first 20 miles, first 15 to 20 miles, just to see what my overall pace is, just to kind of see. Because I'm really curious to know, first of all, what I could do 50K in doing the, and what I'm saying 5 and 5 is run 5, walk 5, or starting off walk 5, run 5. And just to see if I can do that, you know, because basically we're talking, you know, 12 to 16 hours is how long it's going to take to do 100K. You know, obviously that's going to be a difficult thing to do, you know, 5 and 5 and 5 and 5 all, you know, for that long. But I am kind of curious to know, and the 50K would be the time to see how that might work out on race day. So very pleased that the race organizers at the Charlotte Ultra Run have changed the cutoff from 6 to 8. Obviously, I can definitely make 8 hours. I'm kind of between the 6, you know, 6:15 to 6:45 would probably be what I would think I would be able to finish that in. So we'll see how that plays out. All right, and then speaking of the 100K, well, I'll get to that in a little bit. I haven't gotten a report yet from Tom or Rodney, but they did do the Willis River 50K last weekend, the same day I was doing my 24-miler. Tom ran in 6:02, and Rodney came in at 6:06. So well done, guys. So if Tom can't break 6 hours, although he broke, let's see. Well, when we get to the Seashore Nature Trail, he broke 5 hours on that. That was incredible. I can't even read my own writing in some of my notes right here. Okay, so, well, let me talk a little bit about the 50K or the 100K. It's called a Race the Graveyard, or it's the Graveyard 100. It's mainly a 100-mile event that starts, I think, in Corolla, North Carolina, and goes to the Ocracoke Ferry area, which is 100 miles or 101 miles. It ends at the graveyard of the Atlantic Museum. So the graveyard being shipwrecks is what the race is referring to. It's not a person graveyard. It's a ship graveyard. And there's lots of shipwrecks off the coast of North Carolina. I saw a map when we were down there on Topsail Island, and there are lots of shipwrecks down there from, you know, the old days. Now, the 100K starts, obviously, 40 miles to the south of where the 100-miler starts, an area called, I think it's Bodhi Island, B-O-D-I-E. It's either Bodhi or Bodhi Island Lighthouse. And then that finishes at the same place, the graveyard of the Atlantic Museum. And that race starts at 4 p.m. as opposed to the 100-miler, which I think starts at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. So the 100K is an overnighter, at least for me. And, you know, I'll be able to run through the sunset and, if all goes well, run right through the sunrise and be totally fatigued, not only fatigued from running but from being up all night. So that's going to be very interesting. Now, I've got three people who are going to crew for me, Tom, Ashlyn Bob, and Rodney. And at this point, and I was joking with my wife about this, I just cannot accept any more help. I'm going to have a good crew, no doubt about it. Bob's family's got a place down there about halfway between the starting line and the finish. So we'll have some other family down there. And I think it's going to be a good time. I'm going to have a meeting here in a couple weeks with my crew and give them some instructions and some expectations and just some things that I'm hoping they will be able to do for me. And then, of course, we'll all be able to put our heads together and come up with some plans. Now, I was watching TV the other day, and I heard a quote from Dwight Eisenhower, which goes something like this: plans are useless, but planning is essential. Because whenever you start an operation, you never follow the plans exactly how they're written, but you definitely want to have some planning involved. So when certain events do happen, you at least have a response. So I'll be doing some planning. There's a couple podcasts out there about nutrition that I'm going to re-listen to, just so, you know, if things do go wrong, what would my, you know, what can I do? What can I try instead of just feeling sorry for myself, which I've definitely have done before when I've run my 250 milers. I'm very good at feeling sorry for myself when things get tough, and but I'm always able to pull out of that somehow. So plans are useless, but planning is essential. And I'll be with my crew, and we'll figure out how we're going to get this whole thing done. We're going to be using Tom's vehicle, and the cool thing about his vehicle, he's got electrical outlets in the back of his truck that we may be able to have some electricity for something. So I'm trying to figure out how to use that to my advantage, you know, not just something you plug in the cigarette lighter, but I don't even know. I'm not really sure what advantage that would have. So Tom, we'll have to, maybe we can do Christmas lights or something. Then you say you're going to construct some kind of shelter in the back of your truck somehow. We'll figure all that out, and really looking forward to the challenge of trying to run 62 or 63 miles, 100K, whatever that is. I'm not exactly sure exactly what 100K is, but with ultras, it's never exactly what's advertised. It's usually a little bit over. At least that's what I've found out. So I'm looking forward to that. I've talked about it before. It's the biggest race of my life. Definitely be the longest I've ever done before. So I'm looking forward to it, and that's on March 10th, and that is in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. It's a point-to-point. If you don't know what the Outer Banks of North Carolina are, it's a very thin barrier island that is 100 miles long, because it kind of stretches along the coast of North Carolina, and then it ends. There's a ferry that takes you to some other islands down there. So anyway, we're looking forward to getting down there, and I'm really excited that my family is going to be, I think, coming down to the finish at some point. All right, well, that's the material for the show, but there's more in the email bag section of the show. So let me get to that. I've got a couple good emails, and Sandy sent me one that I think I may have misplaced. Sandy sent me. Oh, you know what? I still got it in my regular inbox is where that is. I'm going to have to put that in for the next show. So I'm sorry about that, Sandy. We'll just have to. I have to hit that one. I mentioned I'll put that one in the next show because I know she had a race report from a 50K that she did where it was really, really muddy. She sent me some photos. Heard from Snuggy Bear. And, yeah, John, you missed the unofficial Ashland 10-miler that we had. And, yeah, I'll let you know the next one. But the shame of it is that I came in last place for my age group. what I'll do is I'll share these results. I actually ran the 10-milers in the 10-miler in an hour and 35 minutes, 31 seconds, which was very good for me. And that was on top of already running a 4-miler. So I did 14 for that day. But out of the six males that ran, I came in last place. And there were only eight females, but I did not come in. I would not have been in last place had all the people been combined. I beat looks like five people, but just not too bad. Hour 1:35:31 for a 10-miler. That's pretty good. All right, I heard from Dirt Dog, and I exchanged some emails in reference to fueling options and. I had told him that I was going to actually try and experiment with doing hard-boiled eggs as opposed to other stuff, and I have not been able to do that yet. And the reason I like the hard-boiled eggs is because they're so dense. I just feel like it puts something in my stomach that I can just kind of draw from as opposed to having that empty feeling. But I don't know what that would be like digestion. While I'm running, so I need to experiment with that, and I've got an 18 and a 10 miler coming up this weekend, the double long runs, so maybe I'll try it then. Anyway, check out if you haven't listened to Dirt Dog's podcast, make sure that you do. He's over at Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe, and it's really good. Heard from Tim, and Tim was the only one that I heard from in reference to except for Dirt Dog, about the beginning music, the intro music for the podcast. It's something I'm trying out. Tim is Maniac number 4319. He asked me for my number, which is 1319. You can go on the Marathon Maniacs website, and if someone's got their profile, I guess, open, you can go in there and see which marathons they've run and comments that they've made about each one, and mine's 1319. Anyway, he hopes that I keep the Star Spangled Banner at the end, which definitely will. And he is doing the Goofy with his son down in Walt Disney World, which is I think that's the full marathon on a Saturday and then a half on Sunday. And if you do both of those, you get a third medal of Goofy. So, Tim, look forward to hearing from. I think that's already taken place, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was last weekend, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Drop me a line. Let me know how that went. I'm very curious to know. I have never run. I don't think I've ever run the day after a marathon at all when I've done the 26.2. I know this past weekend when I did 24, which is close to a marathon, and then 5 the next day, that was kind of brutal. But, 24 is not the same as 26.2. You know, another 20 minutes out there sometimes is what ends up breaking you. But anyway, Tim, thanks for the emails. Good to hear from you. I really do appreciate that. All right, let's get into Tom's race report. This was the Seashore Nature Trail 50K, which was the week right before Christmas. And let's see. He says, Rodney and I left Ashland about 4:45 a.m. The ride down was pretty uneventful. He's mentioned a guy named Rob. This is Rob Manolo, who's one of our local guys. That does that race too. I said, Rob had picked up our race packets for us, so the plan was to meet him somewhere when we got close. I called when we got on Shore Drive. There was no answer. He called back shortly after saying he had hit the snooze and went back to sleep. Anyway, it worked out real well. He met us in the parking area. We went to the start, and they ran into Kelly, John, and Dr. Smitty. This was Kelly's first ultra. She is on the Team Incognito group that I'm associated with, and she did real well. I don't remember what her time was. I think it was just over 6 hours. Anyway, Tom writes that my plan was to run 9:30 pace for the whole race, and that would put me under 5 hours with a little cushion. Rodney and I stayed together until about 20 miles. I would say it was my best race ever with sticking to a plan. Looking at my Garmin mile splits, I had 3 miles below 9 minute miles and 3 miles above 10 minute miles. The average pace was 9:29, and he had a personal rec and a PR for the 50K. All right, lessons. Number one, Rodney and I took a goo every half hour. I really didn't eat much else from the aid stations, which allowed me just to fill my water bottle and go. I think that saved a bunch of time and kept me on pace. Number two, arm warmers can act like an air conditioner if worn under a long sleeve shirt. Every time I would start to feel hot, I would pull up my sleeves, and the sweat evaporating from the arm warmers would actually cool me off. Rob came in about 10 minutes before me. Rodney came in about a half hour later, and Kelly looked good finishing her first ultra. And turns out Kelly actually won her age group in the Three Bridges Marathon in Charlottesville. That was a marathon I'm not familiar with, but I did hear that she did really good, and I think it was really small. Anyway, Tom writes that we did not stick around for the race party, but all of us went to Shore Break for lunch and then drove home. And Tom said that he has heard rumors that the race organizers are going to give belt buckles to those that have completed the race 5 times, so he'll be shooting for that. And I think this was his third year doing that one. This is one that I'm hoping to do next year, if my schedule allows. All right, we're going to go and check out Dr. Smitty's race report here if I can get this thing to work. Let's see if he has his on Daily Mile, and he's actually got it linked on my ashlanddave.podbean.com comments, if you want to go to that under the Eggnog Fog episode. All right, so Dr. Smitty did the same race, and here's his take on it. He ran a 5 hours, 41 minutes. He writes, I have now learned that it's not a good idea to race a marathon the week before 50K. He had done the Kiowa Island Marathon the week before the 50K. Especially when you have a cold in between the two. Wednesday this past week, I wasn't sure if this race would happen due to a bad cold. I guess all the NyQuil, ibuprofen, and orange juice really helped out. I decided to do an 8-minute walk to 2-minute walk interval for the race. The weather was perfect, and I was just looking to finish. I'm sure the run-walk strategy annoys some of the other runners on the side trail since I would pass them, then a minute later start walking, and they would catch up. Usually my running was fast enough to put me ahead, so I didn't have to repeat that with the same people the whole race. But mile 6, my legs were already sore, and I knew it was going to be a long day. About 8 miles in, I realized I had forgotten to put on nipple guards for the race. When I made it to the next aid station, I snagged some duct tape, but it wouldn't really stick since I was already sweaty. Luckily, no harm came from this blunder. I felt pretty strong running the intervals until about mile 22. Then I noticed my running was slower, and I didn't want the walk interval to end. I know how that is. By mile 26, I was just running and walking whenever I could manage. I'll have to say those last 4 miles were brutal. At least I finished in one piece, and now to take a little break from running or just maybe do shorter runs if I can stand it. And he says a special thanks to Steve Shep for running with him when he didn't feel like running. He kept him going, and of course he ran into several other people there. Dr. Smitty has turned out to be a real good friend of mine. He's come up for the railroad run. I think the last couple times, and he's come up and done the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, and he's really a nice guy to be around, and he's a fast runner too, and one of these days he's going to get that Boston qualifying time, there's no doubt about it. All right, the next show I'm going to talk about Sandy's 50K report, because it was muddy, and she gave a lot of good descriptions from the race, and I'm sorry I left you out on this one, Sandy. It's I'm almost out of time for this episode. I'm trying to keep them at 30 minutes, and I know that I need to definitely talk about your race because you're sponsoring my 100K effort, so I definitely appreciate that. This week I've got a 47-mile week. I did 7 this morning. And what has totally amazed me is, and I'm not a fast runner, I've never said that I'm a fast runner, but what has amazed me for the last 2.5 months, you know, putting in over 40 miles every week, is how easy it is just to go out and knock out a 7-mile training run. It's, it's easy. It's just not even, I used to think, gosh, man, I got to do 7-milers in the middle of the week. You know, and it's going to take so much time, but I've gotten really used to it. I've really started to, more than I thought, I'm enjoying the midweek maintenance runs more than I thought I would. I thought it would be more of a chore to get out there and then, you know, have it get dark and come home and eat dinner later. But it has turned out to be very enjoyable, and I'm certainly getting very used to it. And you just, you can't beat it when you go out there and you got a 7-mile training run to do, and it's easy. It's not even a chore at all. I got to do 5 tomorrow. I think it's a 7-5-7, 18 and 10 week, and that's, I think, 47? Let's see, what's, I can't do the public math. It's whatever, 14 plus 5. I can't even do public math. What is that, 40? Oh, you know what, I'm going to get out this calculator and figure that out, because I want to know. Let's see, you got, all right, 757, so that's 14 plus 5 plus 18 plus 10 equals, that's 47 miles for this week. You know, it's funny that that's only 4 less than what I did last week, but it still feels like I've got a break, because I've only got an 18 to do on Saturday for the long run. Oh, and another thing, when I did that 24-miler last weekend, I started at 6 a.m., because we had to get on the road to head down to the beach, which was about a 4.5 to 5 hour drive. And when I got up at 5 a.m., I did not want to go running that day, but somehow it all worked out. All right, well, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. I'll have another show out in 2 weeks. Hopefully you'll come back and listen to that one. I kind of jump around in some of these podcasts. Anyway, I do appreciate you downloading the show. And what I think I might do is maybe in the next show talk a little bit about my end of the show slogan that I do, which is run to the finish and keep on running. That's kind of my philosophy, and I'll maybe expand on that in the next show. So make sure you come back in 2 weeks. This is Ashland Dave, and reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.